everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. Get ready for some lively discussion.
It's time.
It's Dora. Let's talk with Dora.
Let's talk about it.
It's Dora.
Come on, y'all, let's talk about it.
Let's talk with Dora.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm your host, Dora Sherry. Tonight, I'm honored to welcome Pam Johnson, a mother who lost her daughter, Krista, during her recovery from opioid addiction. Pam honors her daughter, Krista, by sharing her love while raising her grandchildren. Let's welcome Pam Johnson to the show.
Nice to
see
you.
Hello, Pam.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on tonight and for being so brave to share your story about Krista and your journey. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm a little tired. Those kids are growing and wearing me out, but it's great.
Yeah, how about that, huh? Hey, before we get into Krista's journey, can you tell us a little bit about her, what she was like maybe as a child, or maybe a story that kind of defines her?
Loud.
A girl after my own heart.
Very bubbly, fun, big-hearted. Always like that from a very young age, all the way up until I lost her. That's about her the most, is that beautiful heart of hers. So, but yes.
Even in addiction, she stayed as positive as she could, didn't she?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Yeah. And she always thought others, even in the darkest, deepest addiction, you know, she was battling, always made time for me. Always, you know, like I've said before on the first show, that always made sure, you know, I had a birthday card. It didn't matter if it was on the street, or if she was on the street or what. Sorry, my dog.
That's okay. Hey, life happens, you know, this is life. My computer's pulling up things too, so you know, this is all a learning process for me too, Pam. So just relax, have a drink, have some coffee or something, and let's just share Krista's story, okay? And spread a little joy, a little love, and a little positive stuff into the world. Can you tell me, when did you first notice Krista had a problem with addiction?
You know, when I look back, there were subtle signs. There's little, you know, signs when she was in school, you know, high school, just lost some weight, you know, and I thought, well, that typical teenage, you know, they go through that where they, she was always on the chunkier side. Yeah. So I thought, very sick. I ended up having her in Children's for 7 days. You would have thought they would have ran a panel, did something. Never, ever, I mean, it probably came from, I'm sure, drug use now. I believe it did. But I didn't really see a whole lot. She was very active in school, softball player, all through school, you know, had friends. I didn't really catch it, you know, looking back. Except for that one incident when she was a junior in high school, I thought, well, she lost a lot of weight. But then I thought, well, she was trying to diet. She was working out more because she was a catcher for the softball team. So I was like, okay, well, this is all, something's really wrong with her. But then I thought maybe she had an eating disorder. But to be honest with you, I believe that's when it could have started before that.
Yeah.
Can't pinpoint exactly. But I didn't even really recognize it then. It's only after she was walking in addiction, full-blown addiction, did I start thinking back at those things and wondering if he was, you know, messing around with drugs. Then I really, really saw it after Savannah was born, her second child. Savannah is now 15 years old. I seen it when I brought her. She came to my home to live because Skylar was only 3. Savannah was a baby. And I would have trouble waking her up. And I thought, well, maybe she's just wore out from a toddler, baby. I never thought about it. And then Skylar would bring say certain things to me, you know, hey, grandma, mommy needed this to go to sleep, you know, things like that. Still was in denial. I thought, surely, you know, smoking weed wouldn't knock you out like it did her, but that's what I thought she was doing. I had no idea.
What was she doing? What was she taking, Pam?
Her drug of choice was heroin.
Heroin?
Would be heroin and, then she would maybe do, I don't know if it was cocaine, crack, an upper like that. To probably come, you know, the heroin brings you down, the other speeds you up. So, but she told me, my daughter told me she was addicted to everything. Everything, whether it was food, whether it was her poor taste in men, whether it was a drug. The only thing she was not was a drinker. She hated alcohol.
And that's the easiest thing to get. That's odd, isn't it?
She would only want a margarita that we talked about on her birthday. She always wanted just to have a margarita. That was it. She didn't really drink. But she saw me be abused from results of alcohol. You know, she saw something she should as a child. So she hated that. And this always, I couldn't understand how she could become addicted to something heavier or harder, which was the heroin. Yeah. But she said, my personality is bad. Addictive personality was crazy.
Do you think she was trying to cover up some trauma from the past, Pam? Some hurt somewhere?
I do know she was, yep. And I know that as a child, she was a victim of abuse. And we thought we had a handle on it, taking her to therapy as a kid and those things like that. But I don't think she ever recovered, or her self-worth was just not there. She had no confidence.
Yeah, the self-worth. I lost mine too, and that's why I became an opioid addict. My choice was OxyContin, which is synthetic heroin. So I can certainly identify with her. You know, as a mother, what did that make you feel? I mean, if you can explain any of, like, how, didn't you feel helpless, and did you feel guilt?
Guilt. Tremendous amount of guilt. I could have been there to her, where was I, or why did it have to happen to her? Guilt, shame. There was a lot of shame that went involved, that was involved with this. Now I talk openly about her story because there's so many people out there suffering today, and I just feel like I'm proud of my daughter. I hate that she had to go through those things in life, but you know, now she, in my opinion, is resting in heaven and doesn't have to deal with the suffering anymore. I'm left to consent, you know, to suffer somewhat because I miss her terribly. But I
imagine.
And you know, I said this before though, you know, if I had to bring her back and she was doing the same thing, I would rather her stay where she's at.
Yeah.
Wanna walk that walk. That was terrible. Yeah. The whole entire family becomes sick.
Yeah, it isn't just one person. It's not just the addict. Sometimes it affects the family more, the loved ones more, because you feel helpless. You can't help someone that doesn't want to help themselves.
And I always wanted to believe her. I always wanted to believe that she really was going to the movie. She only needed that $20. She always wanted to believe what she was telling me. I never wanted to doubt her. And then, you know, that caused a lot of stress within a marriage, you know, bringing in 3 young kids, and then her addiction, and me having to hide that I gave her money, or, you know, just all that sickness. I feel like I was just as sick. Because I didn't want to believe that it was that bad.
Yeah. I hid my addiction for years. Even my husband didn't know it for the longest time. We're good at that. We're good at lying, and we're good at hiding it.
Yeah. Oh, very good. But now, you know, I have this problem that I start looking at everyone else going, are they addicted?
Because and you're a nurse, right?
I'm sorry.
I stepped on you. You're a nurse, right? So that has to carry a whole nother set of guilt and stuff along the way. That why didn't I see that professionally?
Right, and there's just no way I could, you know. I mean, looking back on it now, all the signs were clearly there. I just chose, I feel like, in my opinion, God protecting me and giving me just little doses at a time to be able to handle and get through. But by the time it was all said and done, and when she was in full-blown addiction, I had to separate myself at that point. I had to. Yeah. I couldn't have her live with me or things like that anymore. I had to protect the children. So at that point, that was hard to do. I didn't know where she was at for months.
Wow. And you had to go looking for her many times, didn't you? And get her and rescue her.
Yes, I did. But I will tell you this. She always showed up when it was my birthday, whether it was a phone call or what. That kid could go be gone for months. But June 1st rolled around. I was getting my phone call.
Aww.
She always, yeah. And I miss her. I miss that part of her a lot. I miss how she always protected me in a sense too. She never wanted me to see. Just, you know, they would come after her for warrants and she would say, please don't do this in front of my mom. Please don't put the hands on me. And the cops wouldn't, they would listen to her. Aww. And so I drove off or whatever. And they would then take her away. Yeah. But she tried to protect me in the way, any way she could.
Yeah, she loved you.
Yeah.
I always, when I think of her and think of you, I always hear her saying, tell my beautiful mother. I said, hello, my beautiful mother.
Yeah, she always said that.
Yeah.
She's not something, I don't know.
You are a beautiful mother.
A little bit tired mother today, but...
Well, you're a grandmother too, so that gives you even more reason to be tired, Pam.
Right. They're all doing something.
How old are they now? How old were they when you got them, and how old are they now?
Skylar was 3. Savannah was 6 months old, and Rowan was newborn 5 days.
Wow.
Now they are. Skylar is a senior in high school. She's 18. Savannah is a freshman in high school, and she's 15 and very involved in soccer and cheer and anything she can get her hands on, student council. She kind of went that direction. And here we got Rowan. She's 9 now, and she's in third grade.
Wow.
And she's tumbling, and now everywhere we go, she's doing backflips and cartwheels, and I don't care if we're at Kroger's, where we're at, she's doing it.
I see those little girls in the store all the time doing those cartwheels and practicing cheers. I think that's the cutest thing. How do they cope with their mom being gone? How do you keep her memory alive, Pam?
Well, Skylar, she's still the one I think took it the hardest. She was 12.
Yeah.
So she kind of does her thing. She did go, and everybody was so against it, and I didn't care. I let her do it. She got a tattoo of her mom's birthday on her. And I said, it's your body. You just don't get something that you're going to regret. You can't see it, only you can. And, you know, I got so much backlash on that. Anyway.
But that's okay. You know what? It's her mom's birthday. Let her honor her mom in whatever way she wants to. You know, we all grieve differently, and children especially.
And Savannah, she's kind of like, she's still kind of neutral. She'll say stuff like, losing my mom, I feel like, is like losing an aunt. I love my mom. I cherish the time. But if I lost you, I don't know how I would handle it. Because I've been that mother figure for so long to them. And then Rowan, she just went through this phase. I got a call from the school about a month ago, And they said, well, Rowan had a meltdown. I go, what? So she has some behavior issues and she is now good and off of that behavior stuff. But finally, I feel like she got a teacher that understood her. But anyway, back to this grief thing. Apparently, she took a picture of Krista in her backpack and just started bawling in class. And now she took her down and gave her this little, it was really neat. The counselor gave her this little grief tool box type deal that would help her. And she says, I just want to know who my mom was. I feel like I've been cheated. I don't know her. I was only three. I said, I know. And she goes, I see all these people talking about their moms, or they're coming in and they're doing parties. I mean, even I do it, but it's still, they all know I'm the grandma, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like she's just kind of like, now, you know, my best friends have a mom.
Yeah.
And I didn't know my mom. So she kind of went through that, and I just let her talk, get it out. They're still all very weird about, like, Skylar, she likes to go to the grave. Savannah will not, and I don't force her. I used to, and they told me that was a big don't do it.
Yeah.
And then Rowan just doesn't really, if she asks to go, I'll take her, but she doesn't ask often. She likes to get in my room. I have, like, all these things that remind me of Krista. Cardinals, angels, her picture, stuff that, you know, in this little, what do you want to call that? Like a chest that you can see. So Rowan likes to go in there a lot of times and she'll pick up stuff and look at it and put it back.
That has to be the hardest thing for a child. Trying to deal with that grief, and hard for you to help them. How do you do that? You know, what do you do? Everybody grieves differently. Like you said, all three are grieving differently.
Let them cry, let them get it out, scream, whatever they got to do. I will say Savannah, like I said, she's very much my thinker about everything. And she, for Krista's anniversary, October 24th, Savannah had been working on this project for months. I didn't know what it was. And it was that art. She actually did a picture of her mother in these, I forget what you call it, beaded art work or whatever, but it took her months to do it. And she presented that to me on the 24th of October, and I about lost it. I did lose it.
Was that a special date?
That was her passing date.
That was. No, let me ask you this, Pam. She didn't die of an overdose. She was in recovery when she passed away, wasn't she?
Yes, she actually ended up, they found an abscess on her heart valve. So she had to have open heart surgery June of 2019. And I think the nursing facility released her way too soon. I think she became high risk IV user. She had an IV in her arm, which I can see there. But I think she was still very ill with infection. And when they released her September 18th of 2019, she ended up going unresponsive October 18th and then passing on the 24th. Mm. And then her body, everything just shut down. She was sick.
And was that from the effects of the drug addiction?
Yeah. Yes, so everybody thinks that she passed away from overdose. She didn't. By the time she was ready to be sober or try to work her program, it was too late. For her body, it was just too sick.
You talked about the embarrassment of having your daughter as an addict. Now, she was in the same hospital that you worked in, right?
Same nursing facility, yes.
Same nursing facility.
I said, Krista, why do you have to go do that?
The same place you are.
Right, but and I didn't tell my, I hid that from my coworkers. I didn't tell them that. So of course they, you know, she comes in there and Krista was very open and honest about anything you ask her about her addiction, she would tell you. In her recovery. Now when she was actively using, yeah, she was There you are. When she was in active addiction, she could hide it very well, you know. But when she was trying to be sober, she would tell you anything you wanted to know. But now I forget where I was going with this. Totally forgot.
Well, let me ask you this. I know that you experienced a lot of that prejudice against addicts, and you kind of mentioned that
yes.
You didn't tell anyone she was your daughter at first.
Right. I feel bad about that now. I carry guilt now on that end of it, because I should have never been ashamed of her at all. I just didn't want people knowing that part of my life. And of course, it all comes out. So when Krista was doing something, she always liked to be a bender of rules or break rules. She's outside smoking a cigarette, not where she's supposed to be. They would call me. And finally, you know, I said, hey, she's a grown woman. Why are you, what do you think I can do? I can't do anything. You have to start talking to her. She's the one that do, you know, breaking the rules. But yeah. And I had some nurses that were not so nice to her. And I had a couple though that were very, very good to her. Loved her, grieved, and actually came to her funeral, because they saw around the addiction. They didn't, you know, they saw her for who she was, not the addict. And I hate those labels. Junkie, yeah. Those labels drove me insane.
Yeah.
Addict is one thing, but a junkie is another. I hated that terminology.
Yeah, I do too. I hate the word addict too. And when I was in addiction, I would go to the emergency room and really, at times, needed help. And they would treat me as a junkie, as an addict, you know, and I wouldn't get the help that I needed.
Yep, I went through that a lot. Oh, boy. And then you saw the side of me come out. You saw the mother side and, you know, the protection side. Like, you're going to she's got a horrible abscess. I don't care how it got there.
Yeah.
It needs treated.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she self-inflicted it. That doesn't mean anything. You're not there to judge. You're there to treat the patient. And it has opened up my own kids' eyes. You know, my twins talk openly about addiction now, and they're both nurses. So they would see people like their sister come in, and they were able to kind of relate and be an advocate for those patients, because their sister, they loved her dearly, and she was, you know, an addict or an addiction. And Chris always used to say, Mom, everybody has some sort of addiction. I don't care if it's food. I don't care what it is. Some kind of an addiction. And she's kind of right, I think. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I have a friend who just told me her addiction is attention. Getting attention. I said, wow. I mean, you really can get addicted to anything. To shopping, like you said, food, gambling, anything.
Exercise.
That makes anything that makes us temporarily feel better, you know, we get addicted to it. But and I guess there are addictive personalities and some that aren't. You know, I have friends who can take pain medication, no problem. I can't touch it. I have that addictive personality.
Yeah, and Krista would always tell them, when she, you know, I can't take that. They would try to give it to her. She said, I can't. You don't understand. You know, I can't do it. And then, you know, Savannah, she says to me, she won't even try anything. She goes, I don't know if I got that gene, and I'm not even going to try it and wake it up. I'm not even going to go there. So let's hope that she stays that way. Now, Skylar, on the other hand, I worry about Skylar quite a bit.
Yeah, out of three children, you worry that the odds of one of them, you know, having a problem is pretty, unfortunately, pretty strong. But all you can do is your best and keep reminding them, I guess, why they don't have a mother now, you know? And maybe they'll, like you said, you know, go, I don't drink alcohol because my mother was an alcoholic. So that helped me in that way. I mean, I did acquire addiction to opioids after surgeries and things, but I wouldn't have if it weren't for that. I never touched anything until then.
See, and I don't know. Like I said, the only thing I can think of was, Krista is her past trauma in her life. And seeing some of the things that she saw against me that probably scarred her. Mm. You know, that's like I said before, that's why she wouldn't drink. She did enjoy that one margarita, though. That's the only thing.
I like my sangria, too.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Everything in moderation, right?
Yeah. Yep. And there's times, you know, I worried about my own self with drinking. Everything that was put on me, you know, losing the marriage and taking care of the kids and the demands of that and trying to work and my own grief. I wanted to be numbed at my own. I wanted to numb my pain too.
Yeah.
But I realized that that can take me down a rabbit hole quickly. If I don't, you know, keep things in check with my own self. And that is making sure that I am not depleting myself completely. You know?
And self-care.
Right, because once you start pouring from an empty, you know, you don't have anything to pour, then, you know, that's when my mental health, you know, needs attention. When I start just giving everything to everyone else and not taking care of Pam, then that's when things can happen to me. And I always have to keep that in the back of my mind that I got to be careful. Because if I fall into that trap, I'll lose everything.
Yeah.
You know, my career, my kids, everything.
So, and you have to be twice as strong for those kids, don't you?
Yeah, some days I don't really want to be. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to be strong. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm tired. I just want to be able to have to come home and not worry about what game. You know, of course, I know that I'll look back and I'll miss this. This life is busy. I'll miss. They're only young for such a short time.
Oh, yeah.
And I recently, I think it was today, saw a clip that you had posted about your child getting you out of bed that day to go to the mall, and you didn't want to. And you know what? I took that part. You know, I was so tired today. I thought, I've been to every awards banquet or fundraiser or anything you had to do with cheer. And I'm like, maybe I just won't, but that nudge from you, I'm like, no, I need to do this. I don't want to regret either, you know. Hopefully I never have to go through that, but you just never know. So I was very proud of her awards and her accomplishments. And realizing that they might say they don't want you there, but they do.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. Yeah, you mentioned the video that I did about my son. It was the day he died, how he did try to get me. He did get me out of bed. I was suffering from a broken back. And he wanted me to go to the mall with him. And I didn't want to go because it didn't feel good. And thank God I did. He even said that night that he had the best day in his life. And if he died that night, he died happy, just hanging out with me. And he did pass away that night in a car accident. So yeah, the video was about how thankful I was that no matter how much pain I was in, I did get up and go with him, because I would have regretted that horribly, like you said, if I hadn't gone. But the first instinct was, oh no, hell no. I'm not going to walk the mall right now with a broken back.
But, right.
That broken back was a whole lot less painful than the broken heart.
Right. And yeah, I don't want to have to ever live with a regret. And even if nothing, you know, I hope I don't have to deal with losing another child, but just the fact that in 3 short years, she's going to be grown. She's not going to, I'm not going to be at these things anymore. Anyway, so you just want to cherish it while you can. But was I a little tired? Yes. And then where'd she put me with? The loud group of cheerleaders with her and the rest of them. I'm like, you put me here in this crowd. Why can't I be over here with the parents?
God love the children.
Oh, I was a little loud too. I said, you got your mother's outgoing personality that way.
I was just going to ask you if which of the children demonstrate more of Crystal's qualities or her characteristics and her personality.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that Savannah has that attitude like Krista, that she just goes with the flow. Very, whatever happens, happens. You know, that kind of thing. Rowan has her sweetness. She can be so sweet and so loving, very sweet. And Skylar, if you ever made Krista mad, it was hard to do, but once you got her there, and Skylar's got like some of that. And Skylar doesn't take anything off of anyone either.
Good. So, that's a good thing.
They all have a little bit of her, for sure.
Yeah. Which one looks the most like her, Pam?
Savannah?
Yeah, I've seen her on Facebook. She does. You can see her mom in her, not just physically, but I can feel her emotionally.
Yeah.
In her too. Yeah.
Rowan, wow. I don't know. She doesn't look a thing like her mother, but she's just very sweet and kind. I hope she doesn't lose that. But also, I have to watch her, though. I don't want her to be taken advantage of, because those type of people get taken advantage of a lot if you're not careful. I have to teach her to stand up for herself. And trust me, these sisters of hers knock her around and fight back.
She'll learn.
Yeah. Skylar, not so much. She's about, you know, the funniest thing I hear from Skylar now is, I'm a grown woman. You're 18, you're a grown woman. Okay.
You're a grown woman. Yeah.
Let's see you do grown woman things then.
Are the children's father involved in their life, Pam? Do you get any help from them?
No.
No? Wow.
In and out of prison. One's in there. Yeah, they're in and out of prison. And I don't even get any help from the paternal grandparents. They battle their own addiction. Not all of the grandparents. But
But there's obviously addiction in that side of the family too. So
that's what scares me about them, is they have addiction on all sides.
Yeah.
You know, both mom and dad. So I don't know. Just, I really do pray a lot. I worry. I don't want to have to go through this again, you know? That's 10 years of battle. Like I think I told you before, I lost my daughter 10 years before I actually lost my daughter.
Yeah, to that addiction.
Mm-hmm. The only times I got this little sparks of her being back, and people probably think I'm crazy when I say this, but when she was in jail, I loved it.
She was safe.
Yeah, I was sleeping at night. I had a piece of her back, you know? Mm-hmm. Then she'd get out and do well, and she was like in a cycle, you know? Summertime, she was free-spirited, was doing good, the sunshine, the vitamin D and all that. But then when fall and winter would hit, she would go into that manic depression, you know? And then it was hard for her to get out of it. It was always some sort of cycle like that. I could almost tell when it was going to happen.
What would you say was the longest she was clean? In between use?
One time it was almost a whole year.
Wow.
And she never started. She never really started like when she was pregnant for Skylar, nothing. Didn't even smoke a cigarette. But after each kid, it started progressing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I saw this. I don't know where I saw this at, but you know what I thought about? This is a pretty neat thing. This woman had lost her son to addiction, and she went into this tattoo place and said, I don't know exactly, I can't remember the number, but she goes, I want 55, just for an example, 55 tattooed on me. And they said, why 55? They said, everybody wants to talk about the loss, you know, from addiction, I want to talk about and remember the 55 days that he was sober, and that mattered.
Oh, wow. Wow. That says loads, doesn't it?
Yep. She wanted that he was just more than an addiction. He was her son. He had talents, you know, and she wanted those 55 days to remember that those sober days mattered.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly. I can't remember the date, but I thought that was really neat. You know, people do focus so much on, you know, they try to get clean and they relapse. It's always focusing on the relapse part, never on the accomplishment of trying to stay sober.
Yeah.
Because my daughter said it's the hardest thing. And you would know. She said it's the hardest thing ever to try to stay sober.
Yeah. You have to work at it every day. I've been clean almost over a little over 6 years. And I still make sure every time I go for medical care, I tell them I'm a recovering opioid addict. Don't give me anything. I have to protect myself at all times from certain people, certain old friends, I'll say, that weren't really friends, you know, that try to pull you back in. Sometimes people get jealous of, you know, you doing well in recovery. You know, they want to pull you down because it makes them feel better, you know?
Right. But, I even had to battle her own friends. Some of her friends, you know, they would start, after Krista died, they would start trying to use me as an avenue. Like, hey, I need, the one that they always seem to say is, I need $20 for personal hygiene. They always would say something like that. I'm like, 20? No, you don't. You're not getting $20 from me. Now, if you came here, you needed to eat something, I would give you some food. But I'm not giving you your last $20. I'm not doing it. But I had to separate myself from those people still.
Yeah. You do. Now, you mentioned that it damaged your marriage. So are you a single mom, grandma, raising the kids?
Well, I'm not moved in with anyone yet.
Okay, so there's nobody there nagging you or helping you per se.
Oh, I have somebody I do have someone that can nag at me and help me. And then I'm, you know, I'm at a good place with the ex now. He's actually going to be getting married next month.
Now, he's been active in helping you with the kids, right?
Yes. He's not ever stopped.
That's wonderful.
Still gets him every other week.
Wow. And the new wife?
I'm sorry?
The new wife? She's okay with the kids?
I hope so.
Probably shouldn't ask that, should I? Maybe we'll get lucky she's not watching.
Oh, my God. It's real, though. I do feel like she loves them.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters to me, is if you love them. You know, she never forgets their birthday or Christmas or anything like that. So I think the more people that love the kids, the better off we all are.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. So many people forget that, Pam. You know, it's about the kids.
Yep, it's not about us anymore. That chapter of my life is over.
Yeah, yeah.
That part written out, God brought him in my life, I feel, because he knew I was going to need help, you know, raising them and taking care of them. So,
yeah.
My phone's going off. I don't know if my charger will stretch. But yeah, so he's still pretty active.
That's wonderful. That's a good guy.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Okay, there. I have to turn around a little bit.
You look beautiful.
Oh, I don't feel so beautiful, but thank you. And you always do.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Makeup does so much.
Well, I had it on earlier, but I've just been running all day today. Started at 6 o'clock in the morning going to the dentist. Had to take the younger one to the dentist. Just, you know, you try to take a day off, and I run more when I'm off work. So I might as well.
Yeah.
Work.
I always said I worked harder on my days off than I ever did at work. I used to want to go back to work on my days off sometimes.
I know.
So I wouldn't be so busy.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Well, Pam, let me ask, what would you like to say to other mothers who may be going through something like this? You know, can you give them some, a little bit of something personal from your, what you've gained in this?
Just, you know, I feel like I always loved my child and I always tried to protect her. Only thing I would say different, if I could go back in time, is I would have been more of an advocate early on versus now. Let the stigma go of being ashamed and guilty. Let all that go. There's nothing you can do to change that. Your child, and I always like to think too, you know, I love, when I think back to my child, I think back to her as a young child and how she was so full of life and so happy. And I try not to always focus on the addiction part. I only reflect on the addiction part because of awareness.
Yeah.
But I don't let myself stay there. I can't. So for me, the biggest thing is probably is I continue to show up for my daughter and love her no matter what the circumstances were. That mother's love, that's just how it is. You know?
That's right.
But yes, and just not, you know, I'll never forget when they came to me at that nursing home and said, oh, didn't realize your daughter was that bad of a addict. I said, okay. But just the judging from that day forward, it was, I wanted to crawl under a rock. I'm not even kidding. It was kind of humiliating the way I was treated. Almost like, I even felt like that when the officers would come looking for Krista, they would say things like, well, I hope you're not hiding her in here. I said, listen, I'll be the first to tell you where she's at.
Yeah.
But almost put that on me like I was just as, how do I want to say that? Like I had the problem.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Like you should have been able to fix it or something.
Right. So,
or like you caused it. Yeah.
And I do reach out and I try to still reach out to people. I find out they've lost a child. Through friends or sometimes even on a Facebook, I'll go in and friend them because I want them to have someone that they can lean on through this. You know, I have a friend right now, her daughter is going on 4 years gone. And I just ran into her the other day. And because she said, and we would talk, because I told her, because she would say, what year was the roughest for you to get through with your grief? I said, year one, I was in shock and denial. Year two was a very hard year for me. Hard grief year. And then this past one, she'd been 6 years in October. That was really, really hard. And I don't feel like, and I feel like this is a misconception. And you could probably relate to this too. People say it gets easier with time. No, I don't think it gets easier with time.
No.
I think, because then you start realizing all you have of them is what you have. It's like it stops right there. You know, there's going to be no more pictures, no more memories, no more birthdays. You know what I mean? To me, I feel like it's not as raw maybe, but I don't think it really, it's easier. You just learn how to navigate around it or something.
That's it. I think that's the secret, navigating it around it.
And some days I can't navigate it. And then I just have to let it come full force. If I have to cry in the car, I will. If I have to cry in the shower, I will. Because I miss her.
Yeah.
You know? She always comes out. You know, sometimes I'm like, okay, Krista, you're with me right now. I'll be somewhere and not even, I don't even know where it comes from, but it's almost like I blurt out that I have four, you know, people ask me, how many kids you have? I always say I have four kids.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What are her ages? Well, she would be this. And then they stop you. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, they don't know how to respond.
Yeah. But that was one of the hardest things I had to deal with, was telling someone that I had one child and he passed away. And it wasn't hard for me to say it. It was hard for me to accept their grief over it for me.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm getting at. Because I'll be like, oh, no, don't be sorry. And I yeah. say, then I'll say, Krista, what are you doing? You're trying to just make yourself known. Talk about you. This is not about you. So what I would say to her sometimes, I'm like, why are you coming out in this form? I mean, she came out today. I had a job interview for hospice, and I can just let it all be out now. I can let the truth be known. And they asked me, have you had any experience? I said, as a nurse, no. Personal, yes. And then all of a sudden, it's like Krista came out of nowhere. I had to tell my story. And they're like, oh, we're so sorry. And I said, no, I like to talk about her. That keeps her memory alive.
Yeah.
Alive when you talk. And that's another thing I would probably tell the parent. Talk all you want. Say their name.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we all, you know, thought having, you know, as a young mother, having a child, that we would face a child being an addict or addicted or homeless or all the bad things that goes along with that, probably wouldn't have a child. But nobody, when they hold their newborn baby, says, oh, she's going to be homeless one day. You know, we just don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't come with a, if it came with a handbook, we wouldn't have to worry about these things.
Yeah. We buy a refrigerator and it comes with a catalog of instructions just for a refrigerator, you know, but have a baby and nobody says anything. Here, go for it.
And when you're young, you know, I was a young mother. I had her at 19 years old. So when I'm young, I'm thinking, you know, I don't think about that there's addiction maybe on her dad's side, or, you know, you don't think about those things when you're having a kid, you know, your child. And you don't, certainly when they're growing up and you're taking them to church and they're going to Sunday dinners and they're staying with grandma and grandpa. And, you know, we had a really good family background. I mean, my parents were so actively involved with her, even at the end of her life. I think they took it probably almost as hard as I took it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was so young when I had her. So, but yeah, if we all sat around thinking that, we wouldn't be having children probably, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's why we have them when we're young, because we're young and stupid. We have no idea what we're getting into, right?
Yeah, now I'm like, oh my God. What? I'm thinking to myself, Lord, how are you going to help me get through this? And it's just I'm just exhausted a lot, you know, just as they get older, you know. Then I start worrying about crazy things, you know, driver's license and are they going to have issues, you know? Yeah. Kind of, you got to be careful because I can kind of get a little bit paranoid about things. I would put them in a bubble if I could.
Yeah.
Savannah likes to say I'm a helicopter. I hover over everything.
Yeah.
I said, okay. I was
a helicopter mom too. I hovered right over his hair.
I tell you what, I still have people just today at the dentist, Rowan, sitting in the chair, and they're like, okay, mom, we're all done. They don't even fight it anymore. They just say, whatever, you know. The oldest one used to defend them. That's my grandma. Now that they say mom, they just go with it because it's so much easier to try to correct them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, kids are resilient too.
Yeah, but people assume all the time. I didn't realize how much they assume, you know, that I am the mom. You know what I mean? They just automatically think so. But then
well, glad you look young enough to be the mom.
Yeah, I can take it that way.
Yeah. Really,
but they just say, Grandma, it's too much awkwardness to try to correct them anymore. So they just let them sit. And I mean, I could understand if, you know, that's not my mom.
Yeah.
Then it leads into the whole thing of, well, where's your mom?
Yeah, just like you said about, do you have children? You know, kids go through the same thing. Where's your mom? You know,
And kids can be so cruel and mean, make fun of you because you don't have a mom. And, you know, I'm like, I tell them, I say, you just have to pray. Skyler, she wanted to fight everybody when she was 12, 13. I'm like, you can't go around fighting people because they would make fun of her for her mom being gone. Or things like that. And I just tell them now, I said, there's something going on in their life. You guys have to pray for them. There's something going on to make them be that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're hurting in some way. So.
Yeah. Hurt people hurt people.
That's right. Yeah. They sure do.
Yeah. Well, Pam, I want to thank you so much for coming on with us tonight and having the courage to share yours and Krista's story.
Thank you. I'm glad that I could do an update. Might have to do this again. I mean, they've grown up quite a bit since the last time I talked. So we'll be thinking about graduation this spring and just moving along.
There you go. Well, you were on my radio show, People Helping People, a few years ago, and they were small then. That was, what, 3 or 4 years ago, I think? Yeah. Yep. And you were our favorite guest. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, yours and Krista's story touched a lot of lives. A lot of lives. So it's worth sharing it, you know?
I really hope to. And I still have this thought of doing a book. I just haven't started that. But I really, really wanted to write her story. I just have to figure out when and how, but I still have that in my mind here. So
it's a history that'll live on forever, Pam. Just like my story of Michael, Reflections of an Angel. You know, more people know him now after he died than they did in life, and he was a very popular kid. So, you know, it's good to share these stories. We have to, so the other people that are going through it know they're not alone.
Right, and I'll continue to share as long as I can.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy you shared it with us tonight.
Well,
go get some rest.
Right back at it tomorrow.
All right. Love you, girl. And I appreciate you so much. And like I said, thank you for your courage to come on and share this with us. I know it's not easy.
I love you too. And I just want to say you're one of my mentors. I love how you're so positive and uplifting every day. There's times I'll be down and I'll see something that you put on there and I'm like, she just brought me out of the gutter. Seriously.
Aww. No,
or trenches of sadness. So keep doing that.
You just made my whole day, girl. That's
you
why I do it.
And put all those little quotes in there.
Yeah. All my little things. I can find a story and a quote in everything. That's just how I am, I guess. Everything's a story.
It's some kind of a positive book, you know, because you put there's nothing ever negative from you ever that I know of. It's always something. Even if it starts out negative, you turn it into a positive. It's amazing. So keep doing that.
Thank you. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, we got to get through the stuff. So might as well get through it smiling. My sister always says, we're going to crack up laughing or crack up crying. So let's just do laughing.
That's right.
All right. On that note, thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you, girl. And we'll be catching up with you again soon.
All righty. I'll see you soon.
All right. Love you. Right. Thanks.
Let's talk about it. It's Dora. Hey, let's talk about it.